In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. By happenstance, we had that psalm today. Who can stand against his cold? It looks like about half of us. Our gospel lesson today is one I think that most of us know. If we couldn't recite the first part of it, we could probably follow along pretty well. And the question it presents to us today is, what's in a word? I'm fascinated, of course, by how we have interpreted Scripture, how Scripture has been translated, I guess I should say. In the Greek in which John, the Gospel of John, was originally written, that word is logos. In the beginning was the logos. And English, we have a lot of words. Something like 2 million words exist in English. There's not nearly that many in most other languages, okay? German has like 250,000 or something like that words. Most of their words are, of course, by combining words, so that some of their words are like 15 letters long. Hebrew, also not a whole lot of words. Greek, not a whole lot of words. So in Greek, you can have one word that has multiple connotations. And that word logos, which was translated into word, does mean word, but it also has other connotations. It implies speech. It implies wisdom, intelligence. It implies a certain degree of respect, authority. There's this implied notion of intelligence with this word, logos. And whenever we say, in the beginning was the word, we kind of lose some of those other connotations that come along with it. So, if we back up for a moment, I really like if we would translate it just slightly differently. And we would say, in the beginning was the wisdom. And the wisdom was God. I like that. The wisdom of God. You know, there's this innate idea, I think, in Christianity and indeed in Judaism, that God has repeatedly try to teach humanity how to live with each other, how to love each other, how to deal with each other in this big, bad world. In our Eucharistic prayer, I think at C, we say that God had revealed his righteous, God had sent us prophets and sages to reveal your righteous law. We never really listened to him very well. Matter of fact, if you go through the history of religion, most of the world's prophets and sages throughout history, whether or not they have been prophets as we would understand them, whether or not they were good moral teachers, whether or not they were scientists, whether or not they were just teachers in a classroom, we haven't always been very good to those people. Look at the prophets of the Old Testament. Most of those did not meet a very pleasant end. Some of them wound up being shipped off into exile. Some of them wound up getting, you know, sawed in half. Not a pleasant way to go. We have a tendency to take the people that are trying to teach us something and do bad things to them. So, at some point, God said, this ain't working anymore. I'm going to have to reveal something to them. So that wisdom, that demonstration, not just of love, but how it is that we can love each other, respect each other, and respect that dignity of each other that we are called to be as people made in the image of God. That wisdom became flesh. And there's a certain scandal to that. There's a certain scandal in knowing that that wisdom, that intelligence, became human. So that not only could we hear what God was trying to tell us, we could experience it and see it, put a face with it. And then, of course, ultimately, what became of that incarnate word? Same thing that happens to everyone who tries to tell us to be nice. But the funny thing is, for us as Christians, that word become flesh came back to life. Because you can't beat that down. the absolute fascination with the incarnation, to me, is that that word becomes flesh, that wisdom, that truth that God has been trying to reveal to us for thousands of years, becomes the person of Jesus. And that person of Jesus cannot be silenced. It comes back to us. The incarnation is God's love brought to us. Love came down at Christmas, as the hymn goes. But so did God's wisdom and truth. And my brothers and sisters, as much as we are called to experience that love that God has for us at Christmas, we are also reminded that we are to live out our lives as witnesses for that wisdom of God come to visit us each and every day of our lives. So as we come to the end of our Christmas season, I want us to very intentionally remember the truth that God has tried to reveal to us, teach us, and show us. And remember those who have been shining examples of that in our own lives. And then go out and live that life of love and wisdom as revealed to us through God and in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to try. I hope you will too. Amen.